Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If you are new to the show, welcome. This is the show where I talk to fellow actors about their auditions and how they got to where they are now and everything in between. It's a good time, and I'm very lucky that y'all have listened to this show for over a year now. Pretty cool. Didn't know that I would be doing this long, but here we are, and I'm pretty happy that it's happening. So thank you for listening, and if you haven't given us some stars yet, please do that. And if you're not subscribed, if you're just tuning in for the first time, hit that subscribe button. I am back to pre-recording interviews as I go away for a few weeks and work on something. So just in case things sound like a month ago when you're listening to it, it's because it is. So I'll be back to recording in August, but until then, you will be listening to pre-recorded interviews and episodes that we put together prior to me being busy. Today on the show, we have Jacob Hopkins. You may know his face from The Goldbergs, or you may know his voice from Dragons, Rescue Riders, or To Your Eternity. And we have a great time. So here is my conversation with Jacob Hopkins. And welcome to the show, Jacob Hopkins.
Hey, how we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
I love all of the posters in your room. For those listening, he has some amazing posters up. They're great.
Yeah, I got like a bunch of like Dragon Ball, Marvel, some football stuff. I got Saints. You can't see because like my desk is here and then my bed's like right next to that. I got like a bunch of like Wolverine and Doctor Strange stuff up here.
Ah, so you're a comic book fan.
No, I actually don't really like comic books that much. I don't know what gave that away, but
don't like them all that much, huh?
Yeah, I like pretty much grew up on those. I remember when I was like a little kid and my dad would have me do chores around the house, which basically consisted of like sweeping and fluffing pillows and stuff like that. He would like, we would do it once a week and then we would earn like an action figure that came with a comic book.
Oh, that's so cool.
That for my brother and I. Yeah. So that's how I got into all that. And, I found out later that my dad is a comic book fan. So like, it was sort of his way of, I don't know. I don't want to say like indoctrinating, but like,
he was kind of
like, yeah, pretty much. He was like, this is what you must love, learn to love. Stuff, so.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I feel like the people that I know who are big comic book fans also have this like innate knowledge of like human perspective, which I think is very, very different for those who, you know, don't read comic books. But I feel like everyone I know that reads comic books is very intelligent.
Yeah, because they're always theorizing about like the quantum realm and pocket dimensions.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So you've been working since you were a kid, is that right?
Yeah, I started when I was 5. Bringing up my dad again, he was a actor before me. He actually played A.J. Quartermain on General Hospital in the 90s. Yeah, and
I'm sure my mom would know him.
Oh yeah, she probably would. I've had like teachers who have found out and they were like, wait a minute, really? they had watched the show. But when I got into it, I was 5 years old, like 4 or 5. And my dad was still, he doesn't act anymore, but I think he was still like, you know, he's still kind of acting at that time. Mm. And in the early 2000s, and I was running errands with him, and we stopped by his agents, and they looked over at me and, you know, were wondering if I wanted to get into acting. And, you know, me being like a little kid, I just like popped right out of my seat. I was like, yeah, sure. What's acting? I didn't have a concept of, you know, what all, you know, that was. I didn't know anything about show business. And that's when I started, and I learned everything I know about acting from my dad. My mom did some acting too. She was more of a dancer, actually. Mm. She had a full ride scholarship for dance.
Wow.
But she did some acting too. So they knew like how to navigate this world. It's a completely different world, especially for a kid. And you know, sometimes it can be pretty overwhelming. So I was very fortunate, you know, that they already knew the ins and outs of the business and they knew how to navigate it. And, you know, they guided me through it. They still do to this day, to a degree. but
that's great though. Yeah. It's nice to have somebody who is, you know, versed in everything that this business entails. I mean, I started professionally when I was 8 as well in LA.
Oh, wow.
And my parents had no idea about anything. We moved from Portland, Oregon. So we had no idea. So it's nice to have that mentor of sorts. My acting teacher became my mentor. And it's nice that like your family was also your mentor, because it's huge when you're a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, if someone's going to be your mentor, you know, it's got to be someone close, someone mm-hmm. you can, you know, look up to and trust. And then I've been doing it ever since. I started with just, you know, strictly theatrical. Mm-hmm. I didn't get into voiceover until I was around like 11. So I've been doing voiceover for 8 years, but acting total of like 14 years.
And what was like the first set that you remember being on? Because I don't know about you, but for me, like, I don't remember a lot from the early days, because it all just kind of like blended together.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you know, I'm playing pretend.
Yeah.
or at least that's how I thought of it. I didn't like, you know, I still didn't have that concept of like, this is a job. I think the one that really stands out to me this day was when I was 9 years old. I booked Alexander Drew on True Blood. I played dude, it's amazing. I play like what was the character description? It was like thousands of year old. Like this vampire was thousands of years old, but he was stuck in a 9 year old's body.
Oh my gosh! Wait, were you on like the rooftop and then like. All that stuff. Wait, tell me.
No,
more.
I did get staked though. If that's what you were going with,
okay,
that.
Yeah.
I was in 3 episodes, and it focused around like the vampire authority. So like I was a part of the authority. It's like that classic. It's like, you know, that classic trope where it's like there's a child who's like high ranking and stuff, but he's very wise and cunning and strong, and I end up getting staked by Christopher Maloney's character because I film myself feeding on humans. And he's like, yeah, that's against the law. He picks me up and stakes me, and I explode in blood and guts.
You got staked by Stabler. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was such a cool experience. Going back to your question, you know, like the set, it was the most theatrical set I think I've been on to date. They decked it out to look like this lair, like this ancient lair. There were like, you know, old, you know, cobblestone columns, mixed in with like this modernized table and light, but there were like golden chalices of blood and stuff. And wow. it was so dramatic and it really stuck out. My mom like went everywhere with me when I was 9, you know, acting wise. So, you know, she was there with me every day on set, and I remember, you know, her telling me later in my life, she's like, I was kind of worried that, you know, you would get scared.
Right.
And all I remember about, you know, being on that set, like when I wasn't working, was just that I was super excited because I loved, and I still love, like, you know, monsters and creatures of the night and stuff, and vampires and Frankenstein and all that type of stuff.
And what a cool experience to have as a child, because it's like when you are on a set like that, it really does take away the aspect of like yourself. Like you do feel like you're in it because it is so enveloping and huge and magical that you almost can't not act. Like you have to do it because it's like, oh my gosh, look at this play space.
Yeah. And you know, they would even deck me out in like all the makeup and stuff. They put me in a suit. I was a 9-year-old in like a suit and tie. They had the like the Vampire Authority like pin signia on the tie, which I did get to keep.
That's so cool.
I do have that. I wish I like came prepared. I could just like pull it out and show you, but I definitely do have that. They put like the red eyeliner around my eyes. They kind of like spiked my hair down, and I actually just remembered, I completely forgot about this part, but they like put like fake blood on my fingernails, like caked them with blood.
Gross.
Yeah. And so like as a kid who loved vampires, I was like, this is awesome.
That's a dream. And
I remember I really didn't have to try because I already had the love and the passion for it. So I just stepped in and I was like, I'm a vampire. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do it.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Wow, that's so cool. And you mentioned now that you've been doing voiceover for the past 8 years, I think you said.
Yeah, right.
And you're doing Dragons Rescue Riders now, which is so cool because How to Train Your Dragon spinoff.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is like the best. I remember seeing that movie and being like, I need Toothless. Like, can I have Toothless? Can I have a dragon? How do I get one?
I was one of those kids when I first of all, joining the, you know, the How to Train Your Dragon universe was, you know, it still is incredible. I remember I read all the books before the movies came out.
Mm.
And I was going to say, I was one of those kids that when I saw the movie, I was like, actually, you know, Toothless isn't a giant black dragon. He's supposed to be a small green dragon. But yeah, I've always been a huge fan of that, you know, that world, that series. And, you know, being a part of that is kind of surreal to this day. For those of you who don't watch the show, I voice Axel Fink. He's a human in the Dragon universe. And he's sort of like a con man. He's the nephew of the antagonist, Magnus Fink, the evil scientific genius. And Axel joins in season two, and he joins up with Magnus, and they team up to take down the Rescue Riders, pretty much. Or so Magnus thinks. My goal the entire time. It fluctuates. I have my own agenda. At the time, I wanted my own dragon. And then there are other instances where I want to join the Rescue Riders. I want to become a hero. So I sort of have that arc where I realize that my uncle's kind of a jerk. It's sort of like, I wouldn't say it's exactly like, you know, the Joker Harley Quinn dynamic, but it's sort of like that, you know, there's the evil boss, and then there's, you know, that, you know, underling that, you know, idolizes that boss, but then starts to realize that, wait a minute, you know, I'm not all that bad, but, you know, this guy is, so where do I fit in? And those types of roles are always really fun to play, I think. Especially since he's constantly switching sides.
Yeah.
It's an unpredictability, you know, that you get to play.
It's a very really Loki type of thing.
Yeah,
happening.
There you like, go. Yeah.
Is he good? Is he bad? You don't know. Yeah. That's cool, though. And it's fun to do that, you know, just with your voice. And I've talked about this on the show before with other guests. It's so difficult to convey all of that just with your voice. Like it's a certain skill, a certain muscle that needs to be worked. How did you find your way through the voiceover acting like genre? Because it is really its own craft.
Oh yeah, now I was literally about to say it's definitely a completely different craft. It's a new world. I had been doing theatrical acting at the time, you know, I started voiceover when I was 11, so I had been doing theatrical acting for 6 years at that point, so I already had the art of acting under my belt, if that makes sense. Like I already, you know, I knew how to act and
you
stuff.
Were comfortable,
so that
you were,
yeah,
you were
right, I was comfortable zone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't the problem. The tricky part was learning all the different things that come with voiceover. When people are on camera, you know, you and I are talking right now, we're using a lot of our body language and our facial expressions to communicate. You know, we have inflections in our voice, but it comes across clearer, you know, when you can see our mouths moving, you can make out exactly what we're saying and all that stuff. But none of that really matters when it comes to voice acting, because there's no camera to pick that up. So you have to work on kind of, you know, not kind of, just portraying every emotion solely through your voice, which, you know, technically speaking requires, like, you know, you have to speak very, very clearly, enunciate, but make it seem natural, like make it seamless. You have to work on, you know, finding the right placement of acting, because you do have to exaggerate a little bit. And if you still want to keep your performance grounded, you know, stuff like Ren and Stimpy, they go way over the top. But, you know, do you know what you're dealing with? But, you know, Gumball, he gets over the top too. But there are those moments, those real moments. You just kind of have to exaggerate those inflections in your voice, really pay attention to the detail. And then there's always like working on the range of your voice, how high, how deep, adding those tones, the, you know, maybe a raspiness or a gravel or back in the throat, booming type of sound. What else? Pacing. That was very important in Gumball. I remember the pacing and the diction was the hardest for me to learn, because...
Were you going Gumball too talks... fast or too slow?
Well, the thing is, Gumball talks insanely fast. He's like, bum, 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 you know? And... so I had to learn, I basically had to like relearn speaking, because, you know, anyone can talk fast, but in voiceover, you got to talk fast clearly.
Right.
So you'll flub up a lot and you'll kind of like trip over yourself. I remember like one of the specific things, I think the first episode I ever recorded was called The Fan. And I had a line that I said, I think we need to have a conversation with this young lady. Like, I can say it right now. Like, it's very fast, but that specifically was something that I had trouble saying. Like, I would trip over myself. He just talks so fast, man. And I did eventually get the hang of it, though. It took a little bit. It took maybe about, like, a month's worth of practice.
Yeah. But you also do 2-year Eternity, which is on HBO Max, and that's anime. How does the anime differ from... regular cartoon work?
So that is, you know, it's still voice acting, of course, but it's under the genre of dubbing. So when you're dubbing, the animation's already been done.
Right.
You're just acting to the lip flaps of the character. So I know that can be tricky for some people, because, you know, in my mind, even when I'm recording for 2-Year Eternity, sometimes I think in my mind, I wish I could say it like a different way, a different pacing.
Yeah.
You want to try different things, but you have the pacing has to match. So you can't experiment with that, really, unless, you know, if your character is kind of like the mouth isn't showing on the camera.
Right,
maybe it's like the camera's from behind or you're off screen. Then you can experiment with that. Maybe like the character's wearing a mask or helmet or something and you can experiment with that, but you can't really in the dubbing world. So that can get tricky, because you have to not only watch the animation before your eyes and concentrate on that, like keeping the timing, but you also got to remember that you're acting. So you have to like sound natural and real while you're focusing on how you sound.
I wonder how many people get lost, like just trying to like do the words while watching the screen and just completely forget their performance.
I remember a couple weeks ago, there was an episode I was recording where there was one line, I can't remember what it was, but that's not the important part. I said this line, and I thought my voice director, Michael Sorridge, he's like, all right, great, moving on. And in my mind, I was like, wait, can I try that again? And we eventually did, and I got it the way I wanted, because I was like, wow, I really wasn't paying attention.
You just phoned it in.
Yeah, I just kind of like, I was so full. It was like kind of like a speech. It was like 9 seconds of talking. So I really had to concentrate on those lip flaps. But I eventually got it the way I wanted.
Wow. But you don't just do voiceover. You were on, are you still doing The Goldbergs? Because you were on that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing that for 8 years. We're on season 8, actually.
Wow.
I started doing that when I was 11 as well. Man, when I was 11, things were great. Hi, I was doing Gumballs, doing Goldbergs. Yeah, Goldbergs is incredible. It's a really awesome, you know, production to be working with. Again, like, I started young. I was young when I got on set, and everyone treated me with kindness and warmth and respect, really. Like, yeah. They never talked down to me. You know, they always treated me like I was one of them. And especially Sean Giambrone, who plays Adam Goldberg. Before I joined, there wasn't another actor or anyone on set that was his age. So aww. Once I joined, he was like, oh my God, thank you.
I knew a friend.
And we hit it off immediately. He's always been super cool.
That's awesome. And it's so fun to be on something for that long, because those relationships, they'll never go away. You'll have those until you die, because you're the only ones who can say that you had that experience together, because every show is different. Every thing, every project is different. But you guys have this connection now that's going to last a lifetime.
Right. And, you know, if you think about it even further than that, we made that connection through our careers, and we're going to be doing this, you know, this is our job. So, you know, we'll definitely cross paths on another project or something like that. I remember when Gumball was still, you know, out with new episodes and stuff. And, Sean actually, was on the Cartoon Network, cartoon Clarence, that was still on. And I remember, man, this was back when Cartoon Network still did the Hall of Game Awards. And I remember we both went there. So that was like something that we got to cross paths on again. We were like, oh my gosh, hey, you know,
that's cool.
Yeah, I'll always, you know, like, cherish those types of relationships. They're important.
They're very important. And it's good to know good people in this industry, because there are the bad apples hanging around.
Yeah, there are definitely some slippery slopes for sure. just like in any, you know, place, there's always going to be the good and the bad, and you really gotta hold on to that good.
Yeah. So on this show, we like to talk about past audition stories that are fun for the listeners to hear. Do you have one that you would like to share, or two, or however?
Yeah, I got a few.
Okay. So buckle in.
Yeah, I got a few, you know, 14 years of acting, I've probably got a couple. I remember when... So Fast and Furious 9 is already out.
Right.
So I can definitely talk about this. I think the auditioning process was 2 years ago, or almost 2 years ago, actually. Mm-hmm. And I auditioned for one of the characters. I think it was Jack. It was Jack. Yeah, one of the characters, Jack. I don't know who got it now. I haven't looked at the cast. But I remember when I auditioned for it. And then I got the call back, and then I heard that, like, Vin Diesel and, you know, the director, I think it was Christopher Nolan, I could be wrong though, but, they had seen the tape. So they had seen my tape, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So, and then it got to the point where there were six, guys.
Wow.
It was down to six guys, including me. And I remember casting was calling me up and saying, pack your bags, get ready to go to London tomorrow. So we thought, oh, I must be really, really close. And then they ended up going with someone like way older. He was like in his 20s.
Wow.
And I was like, dang it. You know, that's the one that got away, because they were telling me, pack your bags, get ready. You might be going to London. You know, I've never been. It was going to be like, whoa, new experience. And they were being like so for sure about that. I remember
That's wild because it's like you hear I've had that happen a couple times too where it's like you hear this incredible feedback from the casting directors and you're like, oh my God, I have it. It's in the bag.
Yeah, right.
It's mine. I'm going to, you know, go get ready for this. And then all of a sudden, like, boom, you didn't get it. And JK. But it's interesting that that ended up being somebody who was, you know, in a different age range than you as well. So you can, that's obviously that kind of stuff, it was like, you know, something, at least knowing it's not something you could have controlled, right?
Because exactly, they went that kind of stuff,
so far opposite. Right.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, when I always hear that, I've definitely been in those situations where it's like, this guy looks like you, he's got the same type of personality, and he ends up getting it. But I've been in, you know, plenty of situations where it's like, oh, we want to go older or younger, or we want to go ethnic, or just something that, you know, I can't control my age or my race, you know. I've even been in stuff where it's like, I get down to the wire and it's like, oh, we actually want to change this role to be a girl. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. So there's no way I can control that.
Nope, that's so far out.
Yeah. So that type of stuff I've always been okay with. It's like, okay, you know, that, you know, they made a decision I can't even do anything about. I remember another audition that, like, you know, got away was there was that Noah's Ark movie that Emma Watson starred in, and I auditioned to play her younger brother.
Oh, wow.
And that, like, I thought I was totally going to get it. I remember auditioning for it in California. Then I flew out to New York.
Wow.
To do the callback. And, like, just for the callback, I flew to New York across the country. And I remember after my callback and I was walking out of the building, one of the assistants was walking me out. And she was saying, like, I hope you're going to like Iceland, which is where they were going to film. And she's like, I hope you're going to love Iceland. And she's like, you know, saying, like, you're going to love it there, you know, pack your bags, all the same stuff. And then it goes to, like, a complete, like, nothing like me. And I was like, well, great.
Anytime somebody in the future starts telling you to pack your bags, you just need to tell them to stop talking, because that's, like, clearly a curse. Like, don't talk about it. We're just going to walk away right now.
Imagine I just, like, 3 years from now become a crotchety old man and I'm so jaded and I'm just like,
don't tell me to pack my bags.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's wild, man. But you know, the thing is in this industry is if it was meant to be yours, it was meant to be yours. And if it wasn't, then it never was. And that's kind of just how it works. Mm-hmm. And I think the sooner, especially for younger people listening to the show right now, the sooner that you become okay with that, the more fun it's going to be.
Yeah, I think since I started so young, and I've always had, you know, my view on the industry has definitely matured over the years, but I started young and I always had this sort of innocent lookout where it's like, if I audition for something and I don't get it, I don't get it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Move on to the next thing. And I've always kept that. It's never rejection. And you know, this is just a important life lesson in general, but rejection never really bothered me that much,
which is amazing and great.
because when you think about it, it's, you know, yeah, you're the one auditioning, right? But it all comes down to what the casting and, you know, the director and the creator, what they want. It's their project. It's not your thing. It becomes kind of your thing if you become a part of it. But, you know, you don't have control over that type of stuff. So it's like, whatever, just move on to the next thing.
Yeah, all you have control over is putting in the work and
doing the best you can
and not giving up. That's it.
Yeah. As long as you always do the best you can, you know, then you'll never be dissatisfied, I don't think.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad we ended on such an inspiring note.
Where can people follow you on social media to keep up with all your stuff?
Yeah, my Twitter is HopkinsJacob5 and my Instagram is HopkinsJake. I actually do want to announce something real quick.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's nothing you would have known about beforehand because it literally happened yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
I can't say exactly what it is, but I got a call saying that I booked another lead for another animated series. I can't say exactly what it is yet. I imagine soon though, because I'm actually starting to record like tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know when this is going to come out, but my first day of recording is going to be June 23rd.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And we're recording this the 22nd. So.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And you have a film that you recently did, Carolina's Calling, that's going to come out probably next year, you think?
Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking probably either later this year or early 2022. I think it's going to be coming out on a streaming platform. I don't know yet, but I will keep you guys updated about that so you can check it out on the social medias and also the new voiceover thing.
Yay! Well, congratulations. And thank you. Again, it was so great to talk to you. I can't wait to see all of the fantastic things that you do.
Well, thank you so much, Jillian. I had an awesome time.
Thanks again to Jacob for coming on the show and spending a little time with me. It's always fun to meet new people on this show and get to connect. Tune in next week for my conversation with Jason Stewart. And until then, make sure you're subscribed to the show and following us on social media. If you didn't know, every Friday we release a really fun Instagram TV video, which shows about a minute to 2 minute clip of our conversation with this week's guest live, us actually talking to each other. Instead of just, you know, listening to it, you can see a tiny bit of it on our Instagram. So make sure to follow us there and tell your friends, tell your family. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.